September 1st, 1859, Berlin, Connecticut. Letter to Robert and Eunice Harmon. Description of meetings and travels in Western New York, August 1859. Dear parents, here we are journeying again. We have attended two conferences and are about to engage in the third. In less than 2 weeks, my husband has preached 10 times. He is somewhat weary, but today is Thursday, and he will rest today and tomorrow, and then engage in labor again. Our first conference was at Carlton, New York. We had never been in that part of the country before. The friends there received us heartily, and every arrangement was made for our convenience and comfort. The railroad cars stopped at Albion, New York, 5 miles, 8 kilometers, from Brother Buckland's, Curtis P. Buckland, in Carlton. He was at the depot waiting for us with a fine span of horses and easy carryall. We had been riding all day, took breakfast at 3:30 at Jackson, Michigan, and we were very weary. But we enjoyed a bath of cold water, which refreshed us much before retiring. We slept well and had Friday to rest. Meeting commenced Friday evening. Brother Lampson's family were present, also Brother Orton and his wife, Jonathan T. and Caroline Orton, Drusilla, Drusilla Lampson, Alva, Alva Orton, and Bradley Lampson, Joseph Bradley Lampson, Brother Lindsay, John M. Lindsay, wife and children, and a large company from Millgrove, New York. Brother and sister Craige, Stephen B. and Miranda B. Craig, and brother and sister Smith, the last two living in Parma, New York. Many from different places were present. I mention those whom I think you are acquainted with. Sabbath forenoon there were about 100 present, and in the afternoon also. Sunday the tent was crowded full, and quite a number of females dressed in their rich silks and satins sat upon the grass at the edge of the tent. Many came out from curiosity to hear the woman talk. Husband had perfect freedom in talking to the people. The Lord strengthened me to talk 5 times. The people would not be satisfied until I had spoken. We expect that meeting will result in much good. Many were convinced of the truth of our position. We never saw a more attentive, interested congregation. They numbered above 700 on first day. Many who came in the morning would not leave until the third, 5 o'clock, meeting closed. Food was taken from the houses and distributed among the eager listeners to truth. While eating our dinner at the house, we concluded that if Jesus had been present, he would have had compassion upon the multitude and provided bread for them by his divine power. After the close of the afternoon meeting, we called the young together, and just as they were about to leave for their homes, we faithfully exhorted them to make sure work for eternity. We told them that they must each have an individual experience and feel an individual responsibility, that unless they should cease to worship at the shrine of fashion, they could not be disciples of the meek and lowly Jesus. It was an affecting time. Parents and children wept aloud, and thus we parted. I felt that my garments were clean from their blood. I had prayed for them and warned them faithfully with many tears. I was free. I felt that I had done my whole duty. They must now form a character for heaven or choose the broad road that leads to death. I want to feel a deep interest for souls and labor to do all I can for their salvation. I know that time is short, and I want to do all I can in the cause of my Master. We left Carlton Monday morn and went to Rochester, New York. Visited Brother Orton's family. They waited upon us with their horses and hack around the city where we wished to go. Wednesday, we left Rochester for Syracuse, New York.